Hey everyone, my name is Lorena, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97000. There you can ask questions, submit a prayer request, and even support the River Church financially. And at the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can. You can also visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. I always love those announcements. Just kind of puts us right in the middle of what's going on. And I know some of you are like, no, I don't want to be put in the middle of tubing down a hill at snow camp. I get it. But just awesome. We got a bunch of kids up there this week, middle school this week, high school next week. So just thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, we'll be in Acts chapter number 2. So the New Testament, right after the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the book of Acts. We're in a mini-series where we're studying the start of the church. And next week, I'm really excited for next week. Many of you ask about my knee. I'm having my knee scoped on Friday. Hopefully they can unlock it and I can not hobble up here. That's my hope. So if you want to pray for me on Friday. But next Sunday is a special Sunday for us in the River Church. It's called Pastor Swap Sunday. And what we're doing is we have 9 locations. And so the goal is I'm going to be preaching in another one of our locations. And I'm excited. Pastor Chuck Lindsay from Grand Blanc will be preaching here next week. And Pastor Chuck is just a fabulous pastor, preacher, and I so look forward to you hearing him share the word. So looking forward to that. But Acts chapter number 2, and we kicked off this mini-series really diving into the book of Acts where the church kicks off. And in chapter 2, we start off at the day of Pentecost. And we know Pentecost is a Jewish feast, one of their big feasts, and many people would come to Jerusalem. And we know Pentecost means 50th. So 50 days after Passover is when Pentecost happens. And so we have a really good timeline of what's happening here, that we know Christ went to Jerusalem, Passover, Christ dies on the cross, he rises again. 50 days later, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes in a personal way, right? The Holy Spirit now comes, and now we become the temple of God because of what Christ did on the cross. This 50th day, the gathering of the church begins. We know in chapter 1, it's 10 days before. Why? Jesus rose 40 days later. This happens 10 days after those 40 days. Jesus comes and really gives us the focal point of Acts, that the book of Acts is the beginning of the church, the 30 years of the beginning of the church, the history and what happens. And so Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Holy Spirit is going to come to be in you for you to now be witnesses of me. And in Acts chapter 2, that's exactly what happens. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes individually, receiving the Holy Spirit. So what? The name of the Lord may be proclaimed. These powerful things. This is what happens. And so here, as I was studying last week, I brought up Richard Longenecker, which I really love his last name. But he said, when I was reading his commentary on this, he brought up there are summary statements of the church in the book of Acts. So he points out Acts chapter 6, verse 7. And so our verse guy, I'm going to run through a bunch of verses here. But Acts chapter 6, verse 7 says, the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests, the Jewish priests, became obedient to the faith. They became followers of Jesus. In Acts chapter 9, verse 31, it says, so the church throughout all Judea and Samaria and had peace and was being built up and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The church multiplied. And then in chapter 16, verse 5, it says, and the churches, so the churches were strengthened in faith, and they increased in numbers daily. In chapter 19, verse 20, it says, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Here we have the beginning, the history of the church, and what is happening. Here we have a picture of what the church looks like. I think it's a valid question to ask. Do we look like what the church is supposed to look like? When we gather together, is this what it's supposed to look like? Maybe you grew up in a different denomination. You grew up where things were a little bit different, a little bit more liturgical, or songs are different, or lighting's different, or seating's different. I remember when I was a young kid, and my mom and my dad, we'd take a trip down to North Carolina where Aunt Betty and Red lived in the hills of North Carolina. And I had to ask mom, was Red's name Red? And she's like, no, it was Creed. He had red hair, so we called him Red, just to let you know where we were at. We're in the hills of North Carolina, and I remember as a kid going to church with them down there. I remember going to this country church, sitting down, and somebody got up there and said, I just this morning feel like, does anybody have a word from the Lord? And they looked out at you. And my dad got up, went up, and he started to preach a sermon. Some of you are waiting, go, Pastor, I've been waiting for the moment for you to ask. I'm ready to go. No. Now, there were in this little church, there was a lot more hooting and hollering than it is in here. Some of you clap and you scare the person next to you, right? It was a little different. And then we had a break. There was like, all right, we're going to take a break. And everybody went to the front porch to smoke a cigarette. This is what happened. Now, those of you who've been in country church, like, yep, that's what happened. Roy said in his church, they were Southern Baptists. They had to go to the back porch because they had to, not try to influence other people. Are we doing church right? Is this what church is supposed to look like? So here we have the first gathering of the church. We see Peter begins to preach the word of God, and people are convicted. And they're like, what do we do? There's this conviction in my soul, in my heart. What do I do? And Peter calls them to respond personally, to repent of their sins, to believe in Jesus Christ, and then take that next step of being baptized. So go with me to verse 40 in Acts chapter number 2. The Bible says, and with many other words he bore witness. This is Peter, and continued to exhort them, to lead them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there was added to the church about 3,000 souls. That is a good church growth chart right there. I just want you to know. When you read in chapter 1, it says there are about 120 of them gathered together. This is good growth. Let's keep reading. The Bible says, and they devoted themselves. The Bible tells us what it looked like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. Just thinking, the beginning of the church, there isn't the gospel of Luke that's written out that they gather together to read. The apostles were sent out from Jesus. And so they were empowered to do amazing signs and wonders, and what it gave them credibility as the church began. Look what is happening. And they would look and go, wait a minute, what is this? And the apostles would lead them to the teachings of Jesus. Let's keep reading. It says, verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, listen to this, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking of bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Here the Lord tells us what the gathering of the church is supposed to look like, what it's supposed to be centered on. And when we see 3,000 people came to know the Lord, we see that it didn't stop there. We continue to see day by day, they continued adding to the church. There continued people being saved, being baptized, being discipled in the Lord. And as you read that, I hope you saw some things. When it talks about the church, it uses, like, there was gladness. There was praising. There was friendship. There was this joy. Some of you, I'd like for you to see that. The church, God, like, there is this wonderful joy to have. So the church, there were these, at the beginning, there were these converts, people coming to know the Lord, and then people being made disciples. And just thinking about this, think about the apostles looking out there and going, here's 3,000 baby Christians. This ought to be really fun. Right? When we think about it, we read and like, oh, it must have been clean and wonderful. No. These are people, new people coming to know the Lord going, what does this look like? 3,000. You know, the Bible, when it addresses people who come to know Christ in the beginning, it likens them to newborn infants who long for pure spiritual milk that they may grow up into salvation. I tell you, an exciting thing I see around here is new people coming to know the Lord and having this hunger for the Word of God. It is so wonderful. It is not just something, oh, this is probably just happens everywhere. It doesn't happen everywhere. New people coming to know the Lord. But this brings a great joy. This brings, like, this is wonderful. But it's also difficult because they're learning and growing. Now, the sad part is some of the people who have been saved a long time still act like young Christians. That shouldn't be. But you know, like, there should be this growing and this discipleship. When our young couples walked in this morning, I said, how are you doing? How's the baby? And she looked at me and goes, things are good. But she's learned to bite. She's in the biting stage. And all of us who have little children go, mm-hmm, right? Some Christians, they're in the, But that's the illustration, right? It's a wonderful joy. It's great. One said 3,000 bundles of joy and 3,000 accidents waiting to happen. But how wonderful. But there must be, right? The Bible leads us to then. We don't just stay there. We just don't go, man, we're happy, we're saved. Now we grow and we're discipled. And so here it tells us what the church looks like. It's centered upon. Now, what I think we need to not miss here is at the end, when it talked about the church, verse 4, go back to me to 40, 46. So look at 46. It says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. So when we talk about the gathering in the church, now if you've been around the River Church a long time, you've heard me use the word gather, that we don't use services, we use gather. We gather together. And my hope is I say it so much, it rubs off on you. And when you talk about the church, you say gathering because there's a purpose here. They were called to gather as a church. But when the Bible talks about the church gathering, when does it say it happens? See, verse 46, it says, and on Sunday, attend. No, it's not what it says. It says day by day. It says, it doesn't say Sunday. It says day by day. Now, look at this. It says attending the temple. So when you look at the temple, it seems like in the temple, there was a place large enough for a corporate gathering to happen. That many, when you follow Paul, that's where he'd go. He'd go to the temple. He'd speak. There would be gatherings. And so it seems like there was a corporate gathering. This was important. But there was also day by day going house to house. There was this fellowship together in houses and at Applebee's and those things that were happening. There was this gathering. So when we say, what does the church look like? Don't go, what does Sunday morning look like? That's not what it's saying here. It's saying day by day, whether a corporate gathering or house to house. And throughout the book of Acts, over and over, it says this day by day thing. So in here, multiple times in verse 46 and 47, it says day by day. In chapter 6, verse 1, it says they cared daily for people's needs. There was this distributing of food and care for the widows. There was a day-by-day growing in number. There was a day-by-day. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it says, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures on Sunday. No, it's not what it says. Examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And they increased in numbers daily. So when we look at the church, what does it look like? It's a day-by-day thing. But they're... Here, we see what it's centered upon. So go back to verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves. So here, we have this, one said, this steadfast, single-minded devotion to a certain course of action. So here, and what I love, when we see the book of, what are they centered upon? What did a spirit-filled church look like? What were they centered upon? It says they were devoted first. Let's walk through these four things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were centered around. Now, when we see Peter preach, we see, man, he was pointing them to the Old Testament, the teaching, but they couldn't go to the epistles that we could, and then go, okay, let's turn to Ephesians. They didn't have them. It hadn't happened yet. Let's go, and we're going to look at 1 and 2 Timothy. They didn't have those things. What they did have is they had the disciples, the apostles, which Jesus specifically said, I want you to lead. You are going to receive the Holy Spirit, and you are going to remember the things that I have taught you. John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, this is before Jesus went to the cross, speaking to the disciples in the upper room, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. I love how some skeptics out there go, well, how could they even remember what Jesus said? Right? They question, how can Matthew even remember those things? Listen, if Jesus raised from the dead, if disciples were healing people, though them remembering what the Lord said through the Holy Spirit is an easy deal. Right, and we believe the power of the Lord. We don't believe this is by man. Yeah, if it was by man, this is impossible. We know the Holy Spirit brought those things to them, and now we have them here. And so what did the apostles do? They gathered around many of these young believers, and they would give them the words of Jesus. They would give account of what Jesus did and what Jesus said. They'd bring them back to the Sermon on the Mount and say, listen, the Holy Spirit has brought to memory what Jesus said. Let me teach you his truth. They would bring them to the cross of Jesus and to say, we were there. We watched him die. We were broken and we were scattered. And 3 days later, Jesus rose again. And he met with us. And he met with some of you. And he has showed us. And now he said, the Holy Spirit is going to come to lead us so that we may be witnesses. Welcome to the church. And they were centered around the teaching. The teaching of Jesus, the teaching of the Bible. That is why when you see the River Church, you'll see us centered on God's word. You'll see this focus. You'll see we'll work through the scripture to understand it. We'll walk through difficult passages. We'll go to the places in the Bible that we're like, I don't like that. I don't understand. And we go, hey, the Bible is right before we are right. That we just don't go to the Bible and go, we're going to follow the things we like. Because then it becomes our word and not God's word. We follow what the word says. Even when we're like, I don't get it or I don't understand it. We trust the word of God. This is what the church was centered on. About a year ago, I was preaching and I made a little jab at some of the people in the church. our church every year for the last couple years has gone this reading through the Bible program. And so I just made a funny joke. I go, hey, we're already like January 16th, so I know about 75% of you have already bailed on your reading plan for the year. And people took offense to that. So much so that last week, many of the people who finished the Bible reading plan, they got shirts that said, I read through the Bible, didn't give up, Pastor. Right? Like they had shirts to go, see, they didn't know I was just using reverse psychology. They didn't know. But the Word of God to study, it's so important. It's what we must be centered on. If you move, right, if you go somewhere else and you're looking to find a church that's centered on the Word of God. Find a church that finds this so valuable, that calls you to open it up on Sunday morning, that calls you, hey, we want you to bring it and read it and know it and study it, and it ain't a Sunday thing, it's a Monday thing too. It's a day-by-day thing. It's so important. They were centered, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and it says the fellowship. Now, this word fellowship is so interesting. Me being from Waterford, when I hear the word fellowship, for some reason, like bowling comes to mind. I don't know why. Fellowship, bowling. But what does fellowship mean? What is this? The word here, what's so interesting, this word, this Greek word here is not used in the Gospels. It's like this fellowship comes at the start of the church. This fellowship comes because the Holy Spirit comes and unites us as one in the Lord, that we become the body of Christ. This because we are connected to the Lord. 1 John 1:3 says it like this. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See, what reading here, it's because we have fellowship in Christ, because we've received the Holy Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, this connects us to be together. This connects our life together. But this word here doesn't just mean to hang out. It means so much more than that. As I was studying this, I found that every time this word fellowship is used, it's used in connection with giving. It's used in connection with like this kind of fellowship costs something. Even in 1 Corinthians, when it talks about the church being givers, it uses this word fellowship to give, because fellowship has a cost. One Bible commentary says, so many people never know the joys of Christian fellowship because they've never learned to give themselves away. They visit a church or small group study with an eye just on their own needs and go away saying, there is no fellowship here. But when we look at what we're called to be as the church, fellowship is us giving ourselves. It's us being willing to give up things to care for one another. One of the books I read, he walked through the devotion of fellowship that the church is called to have. It's not little, it's not light. It's day by day, and it's heavy. This fellowship, what does it look like? Just walking through some verses. It's to love one another, which isn't just a, hey, I my heart feels for you. No, to love means action, that we do something. It calls us to care, to look out for their best interests. The Bible says this church, this fellowship is that in this fellowship we're called to instruct one another and have concern for one another, to serve one another, to carry burdens, to bear one another's burdens, to be kind and have compassion, to submit, to consider, to encourage, to pursue what is good for one another. And all of these are passages, but I don't want the verse guy to like go insane putting these up there, right? This is what it is. And in this fellowship, it also calls us not to do things, that we don't lie to one another, we don't speak evil of one another, we don't steal from one another. We look down on one another. We hope for the best in one another. This is the fellowship we're called to. It's not just a hangout once in a while. It is a burden of the church to be centered on caring for one another. Last week, I told you how personal Christianity is. I told you when Peter preached, there is this personal relationship we're called to with the Lord. That he said that they were each convicted in their heart. They were to personally repent of sin. They were to come and get baptized. It's personal. But one man said, it's personal, but it's not individualistic. It can't be that. Because we're called to care for one another. Yesterday, here at the church, we had a celebration of life of a man in our church. Some of you knew. We look and go, Lord, did you take him too early as he was 40, mid-40s? We know the Lord doesn't make any mistakes, but we gathered together and we celebrated his life. This man who came to our church some 7 years ago, painted fingernails, carrying a purse, colored hair, and he came to the church that was loved and cared for. And he was loved, and what happened is we watched this man come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We began to see these transformations. I mean, just unbelievable to watch the change in his life. The Lord saved him, redeemed, gave him a newness of life, called him out of what was in the darkness and called him to light. So beautiful. And yesterday, we just celebrated what the Lord had done. We celebrate eternal life, and we celebrate that, man, what we think, how can the Lord ever work in someone's life? Man, I don't even know what the Lord, we look and go, man, the power of the Holy Spirit, watch what it does in someone's life. But yesterday, there were some people who shared. As a pastor, I started learning some things. I started to learn about the fellowship that the church had with this man. Some of the stories. There's a man in the church who got up there and shared. And Jeff, I didn't realize the care that you had. I didn't realize how much fellowship, how much you loved him, and how you became a father to him. Jeff began to share. See, Donald never had a driver's license. He was 42, never drove a car. In the fellowship and the sacrifice, Jeff started teaching him to drive. Never mowed a lawn, didn't know how to do that. Jeff started helping him, teaching him how to mow a lawn. And he began to walk with him as the church is called to walk in a sacrificial, loving way, caring. This is what the church is. It's how we're called to love and to care. And when we look at what's the church called to be centered on the word of God and the fellowship to sacrificially care for one another. We go on to read, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread. Now, there's much debate on this word here because people are like, all right, is this like going out to McDonald's and grabbing some food, or is this breaking of bread when we talk about communion? There's great debate. What does it mean? Does it mean that they were like it was when we take communion, it is also referred to in the New Testament that, or is the speaking of them sitting and eating? Well, as you keep reading it, it seems to point to me that there was very much this eating together. And in the early church, communion was really done around a meal. That they would then take that meal and be focused on the body and the blood of Christ. It would bring them back to the cross. So I don't really care about the argument. Here's what I think, and I think is so important. They were gathered together, eating together, with the focal point of Jesus. with the focal point of the cross. What is the church centered on? It's centered on the teaching, the God's word. It's centered on the fellowship, the sacrifice, this call to love one another. That's why, listen, fellowship, that's why it's so important to get here. I know that sounds crazy, but to be here. One guy said, being here is half the battle. Because if you're not here, how do you care for somebody? But the fellowship and then the being together, to eating together, to talking life, to bringing it back to the cross. What is so great, I look out at some of you and you strive to do that. Some of you strive. You find people, you take them out to eat. Listen, that's important for us in the church. You see people in the church and you meet them and you come to know them. Yet you guys sit in the same sections all the time, right? You should start to get to know people around you. You see that person and one day you may go, hey, you want to go grab lunch? Let's go grab a breakfast. Centered around caring for one another. Bring it back to the cross of Jesus. This is what the church was centered on. This is what a spirit-filled church looked like. Lastly, it says they were devoted, the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, breaking of bread, and to prayer. When you read through the book of Acts, you'll find they were praying all the time. They were praying in homes, in the temple, on the road, before preaching sermons. One man said that they were praying before they heard sermons, while they were being persecuted. There were planned times of prayer. There were specific times of prayer. There were thanks over food. There was thanks for the forgiveness of sin. There was praise in song. This is what the church was doing. You've heard me say before, if you've been around, when the Bible talks about prayer, it uses the word earnestly and fervently and constantly and always and without ceasing. I will tell you, as a church, I think we've gotten better at this. We break out in prayer sometimes, and that's a great thing. You'll find before the gathering or after the gathering, you'll find little groups gathering together to pray. It's beautiful. You'll find, I'll see people just stop. You're talking and they're like, hey, can I pray for you? And they'll just pray for you. I see people praying in the lobby. We're called to pray. And we do it in our gatherings, right? When it's corporately, and we do it in our gatherings, when we're talking in the lobby, and we do it in our gatherings, we're in growth communities, and we do it in our gatherings when we're eating at Taco Bell. This is what the church is centered on. Day by day, the church began to grow. Those little young believers, they didn't stay there. They began to grow, become more discipled, and then they began to disciple people. A challenge for us, church, is that we are seeing growth, praise the Lord. We had almost 250 people more last Sunday than we did the exact Sunday the year before. And we praise the Lord. We don't go look at us. We go look at the Lord. But we must continue to be centered on what the church is called to be. We must see what Jesus told us through the Great Commission, that we are to be discipled. Why? So we can make disciples. We can't get stuck. We got to keep moving forward and growing so that we can continue to care for the people who come to know the Lord, continue to care for the people who've been saved a long time, continue to be the church that is lovingly, eagerly fellowshipping with one another, praying for one another, and growing in God's word and knowing who God is and knowing his plan and his love. It's easy to get stuck, church. It's easy to get stuck as a church, and it's easy to get stuck personally. And we come back to preaching on the church over and over again. Why? We can't get stuck. We have to keep growing and being centered on the church gathering together day by day, studying his word, a giving of fellowship, a breaking of bread, and a prayer. Let's stand together. I'll pray. Lord God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the church. Lord God, I pray that you'll use us as a church to continue to disciple people. Grow us in you. May we be challenged personally where we're stuck. So we thank you, Lord. Praise you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.